Good morning. It's a midweek Gloucestercast. Today's Tuesday? Wednesday today. And it's a very special, a lot of controversy. Non-controversy, I should say, with Deflategate, which is preposterous. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We're also going to talk about some local issues. I have with me today Mr. Grumpy, Mr. Effervescent, Toby Pett.
Good morning, Gloucester.
And new to the Gloucester cast, a Gloucester blogging legend, Jay Albert, from his wonderful long time. How long has your blog been running, Jay?
Since 2005.
Since 2005, 2 years before Good Morning Gloucester started. Jay was like one of the first big time bloggers around Gloucester. Where can people find your blog, Jay?
Cape Ann Images. Just Google Cape Ann Images. You should be able to find it. If not, it's the old www.capeannimages@blogspot.com. But just Google it.
Google's way easier. But yeah, definitely. You can find things that way. Jay Albert, his dad was a Gloucester football legend.
Mooter Albert
owned Mooters.
Yeah, him and Russell Maley were partners. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was all him.
No, Russell Maley and my father were split right down the middle partners.
From start to finish?
Start to finish.
Oh, wow. I had no
35
idea.
35 years and not one argument between the two of them.
It's located where Nani's by the Sea, the pizza joint, is located.
Which the paper, they have the top secret sign there. It came down last week. Now it's back. The paper's back up. But every night, the lights are on inside there.
Top secret.
Yeah. And I haven't been. Usually I can find out the scoop ahead of time, and I haven't been able to find out the scoop. It's driving me crazy. But
that's where Mooter's Package Store was. That's where his dad's package
legendary
store was.
Legendary Mooter's Package Store. That's
it. 23 East Main Street.
Jay, what happened to those old classic wood coolers that were in there? Because it was like the old school kind of latches that you would close.
I don't know what happened to those. Those were great.
Yeah.
But I used to play practical jokes inside that cooler. You could load. I was loading the beer one day. And there was a girl that I knew came in looking for a six-pack of beer, and she didn't know I was inside the cooler. She reached her hand in there to grab a six-pack, and I was on the other side, and I grabbed her hand.
Did she?
I never heard a scream so loud in my life.
That was something out of a horror movie.
That was the last time I did that. It scared me as much as it scared her.
Did you get a beating from your father? No.
I had to pick him up off the floor. He was laughing so loud.
That's good. Good stuff. So your father's he's a football legend, right? What position did he play?
He was a running back.
He's a running back.
He went on to play at Villanova. His freshman year, right after his freshman year was done, World War II started. So he joined the Navy. He became an aviator, naval aviator, a radio man and gunner on a PBY seaplane. And he, his squadron worked both theaters. First he was in the Caribbean, then he was in the Pacific. In 1943, him and his crew sank the notorious U-156, the submarine that sank the Laconia. I don't know if you know about that, but Laconia was transporting 1,800 Italian prisoners of war, and the U-156 sank it. And a year later, my father was on patrol and they spotted the sub. And they sank the sub. Then after that, he played semi-pro ball. Played for the Gloucester Crimson Tide, which played, I believe they played Friday nights, so Saturday nights at Newell Stadium under rented lights. And they used to pack the place. And that's about it.
And there you go. And you played football.
I played football.
And you coached for a number of years.
I coached 20 years at Manchester. I played at Gloucester and coached for 20 years under three different head coach, Fran York, Dick Ananian, and Joe Palazzola. During that time, we were in three Super Bowls, winning two of them, won 10 league titles, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun coaching all those years. Great kids, great families.
Yeah. You coached at Manchester as well, right?
Right. That was all at Manchester.
Yeah.
Manchester Hornets.
Yeah. So with all that experience with coaching, obviously on a high school level, do you have any input on this?
The non-issue
that the haters are trying to make
it really is a non-issue because, at least in Massachusetts, prior to every game, the game officials, the referees, come into the locker rooms and check the game ball, or the balls, of both the home team and the visiting team. They ask if you got an air pressure gauge. They check it with the air pressure gauge. Also,
this is at the high school level.
At the high school
level. So you have to assume,
right,
at the pro level.
Guaranteed.
Right.
They are not letting, and this level of importance of a game.
Okay. And in that 20 years time, I think there was an issue during the game of the how inflated the ball was in two or three occasions. In two of those occasions, it was due to the weather. There was a low pressure area right over the game, you know, and it dropped the air pressure in the football, and someone noticed, so the referees took action and had it pumped up to the proper level, which is 12.5 to 13.5 pounds per square inch. The other time it was a defective ball. The valve was defective and it was losing air during the game. In the NFL, the same thing. I believe they have to have 12 game balls each team. And I think another 12 if it's going to be inclement weather. And prior to the game, it's the official's responsibility to check the air pressure. Also, the officials handle the ball prior to every single play. It's their responsibility if that ball is legal or not to use in the game. I've heard stories where this has been going on all the time. Maybe the officials are not doing their job. But I put this all on the officials, not on the team itself, because the officials put the ball.
So that being said, right?
Right.
Something was said, it was reported. Right. It says, according to sources, the equipment manager that informed the Colts head coach Chuck Pagano, who then informed the team's general manager Ryan Grigson. Grigson called the National Football League's director of field operation, who then called the locker room and spoke with the officials on the field at halftime. During the first play coming back from halftime, there was a delay to the game while the officials changed the football being used on the field. Then the improper balls were discovered in the second quarter. So starting the second half, at that point, the Patriots score was 17-7. So they changed the balls out. The Patriots and the Colts take the field for the second half with all the right balls, and the Patriots score 28 unanswered points. So It's a non-issue. It is a complete.
Absolutely.
It is an absolute non-issue. And the only people that could be making an issue out of this, after knowing those facts, and the media, like the people on SportsCenter and like the local,
Joey, there are haters everywhere.
Right, but the only people that could, after knowing these facts and still continue to push this issue, are knowing these facts. There's only excuses that you're jealous and you're a hater or you're a troll trying to create a story for page views or to listeners to try to drum, because 28 points unanswered. It's not like they scored a point. You know, if you started the game at halftime,
it would have been 28-0.
It would have been 28-0.
Right.
Like you add up all the points they scored for the whole game. They beat them in the half.
Right. What really is what the Colts have done is discrediting the integrity of the game. Because, like I said before, it's all on the officials to be responsible on the proper inflation of the football, the shape of the football even. It's all on the officials.
So Dwayne Allen, a player for the Colts, this is what he said. NFL on Fox, this is not a story. They could have played with soap for balls and beat us. Simply the better team. We have to continue to build our team. That was from a Colts player.
Yeah.
Okay.
Being honest.
Aaron Rodgers admitted that he inflates the footballs. Brad Johnson admitted that he paid $7,500 before the Super Bowl to tamper with the footballs. Nobody cares. You're playing with... This is a non-issue.
Right.
So, anyway.
All right, we got that resolved.
Let's move on.
We had our expert.
We had our expert, Jay Albert, local football
legend.
Well, he knows his stuff. You coach for that many years, you know a little bit of something. And in in practice, you know, all those years at the high school level, like he said, the refs came in and inspected the balls at the high school level.
You know, they got to do it at college and then at the
billions
pro level.
Of dollars in at stake in NFL, then they're not going to let this go by.
Right.
I'd like to do a couple shout outs. I'd like to shout out to Rick Artazzoni, who fixed my computer down the dock. If he didn't fix the computer, we wouldn't be doing the podcast this morning. So thank you, Rick. If anybody needs like a business computer or a home computer fixed, you call up Rick. He's unbelievable. I'll put a link to his
very talented.
He knows his stuff inside and out. He can diagnose and fix it. And he's so reasonable.
Low key.
Easy
nice guy.
Going. Yeah, very great guy. Toby, another matter of business. Did you have any updates from Doug Pappas? From
no, I have not talked to him since our podcast on Sunday. He said
Doug
that,
from the Foreign Affairs, who said he was going to come in.
I can set it up anytime you like. I wanted to do it sometime prior to the them opening back up in February for Valentine's Day. So
maybe he could come in on Sunday for the podcast.
I will contact him and we will find out.
All right, let's talk to him. How do you feel about the lack of snow this year? Are you a fan of that or not happy about that?
Joe, you realize
I know you're a skier.
Yeah, well, you just jinxed yourself. If everyone's knocking on wood.
Totally jinxed myself.
Historically, the big storms come from this time forward. January is not a huge snow month. It's usually February and March where the bigger snowstorms come anyway.
I gotcha.
So we may be down a little bit, but, as I said, the big dumps usually come February and March anyway.
There you go. Jay, are you a fan of snow or not a fan of snow?
Well, I got my snowblower. It's all ready to go. If it wasn't, my back isn't a fan of it.
Yeah.
The storm that we're supposed to have this coming weekend, if you look, the two capes are expected to be rain, Cape Ann and Cape Cod, but every other part of Massachusetts. And
this coming weekend?
This coming weekend.
Also, the Mass Lobstermen Association, their weekend, they have a big... it's like a conference down in the Cape Cod.
Well, it'll be rain down there, but I'm saying the storm that's coming, they expect the path will bring us here on Cape Ann only rain, but elsewhere in New England could get a little bit of snow.
Speaking of the Mass Lobstermen Association, their newsletter, there was a funny little piece in there. Actually, interesting little piece. Little random tidbits. You want to read off?
It specifically was headlined, "More Random Facts I Didn't Know That I Didn't Know."
There you go. You got to read them off. How many are there?
Well, there are 15. If you want me to read them all, I can.
Read the top 10.
I'll read a few. Number one was 78% of NFL players are bankrupt 2 years after finishing their careers.
78%. That's amazing.
That's really unfortunate. I mean, that, you know, knowing that that's that strong a statistic, they wouldn't have some kind of counseling. 60% of NBA players are bankrupt within 5 years of leaving the league. So it's not just football players here, professional. Then there are a couple ones about Utah. In Utah, it's against the law to fish from the back of a horse. I don't know why.
I think that's one of those states where they probably have a lot of stuff that's been on the books for like 300 years.
Probably because of all those flies.
Well, it probably also is because it can get you, you don't need waders. Maybe you just wade into the stream or the, who knows. But in Utah, Utah law, a husband is responsible for any criminal act that his wife commits while in his presence.
That's crazy.
Totally crazy. Here's a fun one. If you put a can of Diet Coke in water, it floats. If you put a can of regular Coke in water, it sinks.
I want to test that. I'd like to test that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's fine.
Interesting, but yeah.
Other things like if you eat a polar bear's liver, I don't know why, where you'd ever find it on, in what supermarket or whatever,
Amazon.com.
You will die of a vitamin A overdose.
Okay.
Okay. So, to those of you who have been
thinking, next time I rip open a polar bear.
Right. Anyway, there's and if you combine all the ants in the world, they weigh about the same as if you combined all people.
Really?
Again, more random facts I didn't know that I didn't know.
I wonder how they come up with that.
There
was one I heard that. Do you know how many Earths you would be able to fit inside of the sun?
Was it 200 or something like that?
Something way crazy more than that. Like something like 20 million or something like that. It's crazy. It's like some insane.
Oh, yeah, you got to think of the mass.
Oops. Let me see.
All right?
Yeah, I'm good. Go ahead.
You know, I mean, here's... give a couple more. A snail can sleep for more than 3 years at a time.
Oh, yeah. I tried that, but that doesn't work.
Well, you're not a snail. And the last one I'm going to give you here is the air quality in Mumbai, you know where that is,
yep.
Right? Is so bad, it's equivalent to smoking 2.5 packs a day.
Oh, Jesus.
The air quality.
Wow.
Here's the statistic on how many Earths would fit into the sun. 1.3 million Earths would fit into the sun. That's amazing. How insignificant are we?
Right? I wouldn't want to try that.
No. That is, so there you go. This weekend is the lobster trap buoy auction at Cruiseport Friday night.
Very important.
Cruiseport is also hosting the bridal show this weekend. So there's that. The lost dog Opie is still lost. There's a $500 reward. You can look that up on the blog. We'll link to it. So if you see, keep your eye out for Opie. I want to talk about this. More and more people around town, and including some movers and shakers and people, investors and stuff, are talking about the possibility of an ice rink at I-4C2. And how do you feel about that, Jack? Like a, you know, not a permanent one, but a seasonal ice rink at
I-4C2. I don't know. So many proposals, so many restrictions, so many roadblocks. I had always envisioned it to be a
schooner park. That's been your drum. Yeah.
Reconfigure the dockage. Do not kick out any of the commercial boats down there, but make it so that the Adventure, maybe the Lannan, and even the Ardell could dock down there. Have some shoreside businesses, fish markets, whatever, down there. Put it to multiple use. Ground side, land side and the water side. Get the most bang for the buck you can out of that parcel. I mean, it's a beautiful location.
Yeah.
And the only upgrade we've seen is to clear it out for that temporary parking lot.
It's flat, it's square, it's not really square, but it's close to being square, and it's right on a main road. And some people complained that the city overpaid for it.
Well, it was the biggest bargain. It cost the city $800,000.
This beautiful flat, underwater.
Undeveloped,
piece of property that, like, they don't have to, like, drive pilings or anything else.
There's no remediation. I mean, it's not like you had to take down some building.
The building that was there originally forever ago, Frankie Davis, they said was like 2 feet of concrete.
Right.
All reinforced rebar that took forever to take out of there.
Well, it's just not unlike what happened down the Bird's Eye. I mean, there's a whole, because there was so much asbestos mastic coatings on different parts of the Bird's Eye, that it was a very specific process in dismantling it. Yeah. And we didn't have to do any of that when we spent our $800,000 to get I-4C2.
Yeah, that deal, you do that 100 times out of 100.
Interesting.
I mean, even if you don't have a plan for it right now, I am a person that does not like the city to get into the real estate field. I don't like them. I do not like them.
You want the private sector.
I want the private sector. I don't like competing with You know what I mean? Like when the idea for the floating marina in the middle of the harbor, I'm like, you won't let us do it, but you're gonna like y'all gonna run a marina in the middle of the harbor. Is you know, it's kind of upsetting to.
Yeah.
You know, to the marine industrial people.
Government should not go into competition with private enterprise.
They especially shouldn't go into competition with private enterprise when they won't let that private enterprise do what they're proposing to do. That's the really frustrating point for a lot of people. But for $800,000 for that piece of property, and I am not a guy that says we should buy things for just to have parks, because then you have to maintain parks. But for $800,000, just for a parking lot in that location that feeds downtown and everything else, I would like to see more than that on that piece of property, but what I am saying, for $800,000, if that is all it ever was, I still say that was a bargain.
Yeah. What my point, and I'll try to put a dollar figure on it, if there was a building on that site, even if we bought it for $800,000, I guarantee you, and you'd have to get this information from Sherry or the developers down at Beauport, but I guarantee you it was at least a $2 million ticket to take down and remove the Bird's Eye building. I'm saying, regardless of what it costs, just that process of the demo and the proper disposal of all materials as the law requires, I guarantee you was a $2 million ticket.
Jesus.
So if you put that into you know, the
not
equation,
do that because it's a flat piece of property. Yeah.
For 800 grand, yeah. I mean, yeah. My God. I mean, we're already $2 million ahead of the game just by doing it.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
1.2 million.
Not to mention that the developer for the Beauport Hotel contributed a lot to the infrastructure.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly
1.6 million.
But I'm just saying, just for the if on I-4C2, if we'd acquired those parcels with buildings on them, what I'm trying to tell you, even if you got them for free, it still would have cost you at least $2 million to dismantle what was there. And not having to do that is a bargain.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
So if there is a skating rink or whatever, that would be great.
Yep.
A movie theater in the summer, skating rink in the winter right now. I mean, it's something.
Well, until something else better.
And listen, the parking. You can't discount the parking. You know what I mean? Like, for those businesses, you can only fit so many more. For growth's sake, you can only fit so many more businesses, and people have to have a place to park, and if you get like downtown people to go down there to, like the merchants and stuff, to park down there and walk up because it's a lot cheaper than parking on Main Street, and so you open up that many more downtown parking spots on Main Street, that's huge. And it's just so many different things.
We'll see what happens.
That lot is conducive, though. I was there yesterday. That lot is conducive to build a flat deck and have parking underneath and without disturbing your sight lines of the harbor, unless you built a building that blocks it off.
No.
But you could build buildings on the side going down.
But you're not suggesting that we as a government get into the underground parking business?
No. Well, I would be for it, actually. I would rather see that parking than... And I know... People would say that's not the best use of
the parcel
because it's on the waterfront. But maybe, I don't know, maybe you could swap out with the YMCA.
Well, structurally, in order for it to be able to hold a skating rink or a concert venue above that, it requires some engineering. So,
yeah.
That's a discussion better left for the experts.
I think the bottom line with that whole piece of property is that the city has to make it friendly to sell to a business, to an entity.
That's well and good, but you have marine industrial zoning. And
that's
marine
the problem.
Industrial zoning does not, it just is, it's restrictive.
They put it out there, they said give us some proposals for it, knowing what the existing zoning is. And nobody stepped up to the plate.
Well, yeah, all those people that says, oh,
there's so many businesses
so many
out there. That
marine industrial businesses beating down our doors and biotechs and everything. Well,
where are they?
Where are you? How come you didn't do it? There's so much money to be made. How come you didn't rent it?
The original business that was there, it was a big freezer with a 2-foot thick walls. It wasn't dependent on the water. Everything was trucked in. And there was some docks behind the building, but that was for small fishing vessels. That was it.
Look, we're already seeing what's going on. Intershell has moved their operation from the waterfront up to Blackburn. There's another firm that's coming in.
They're not locating on the waterfront.
Correct. I mean, people located on the waterfront at one time, part of the reason was is they could
just dump your wastewater overboard. Yeah. You cannot do that anymore.
Right. They just dump the wastewater and the gurry right overboard, and that's against the law now. Mm. So since they can't do that, the incentive to be there is gone.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you're better off being right on the highway for your trucks to be able to come in.
Saltwater and pilings are not your friend.
Right. All right.
I do get a feeling the topic is going to keep going and going.
What's that?
I just got a feeling it's going to be a topic that's going to be going and going for a long time.
We'll see.
It's a poster child.
What's going on? What else is going on, Joey?
We also have, oh, this is funny. It's kind of silly, but how much do you think, like, I don't do this because I think it's ridiculous, and my theory has been that you don't, like, YouTube, so you can select to show ads on your videos on YouTube, right? It's a button you click, and okay. The ads, YouTube will kick back money to you. Like per thousands of views or something, but like the payoff is so infinitesimal that unless you have like ridiculous numbers, like it might be like $15 a year or something, and all your viewers have to look at the ads on your YouTube videos.
Okay.
So to me, the decision is I would rather my viewers not have to look at these ads or click the little X box to
opt out
of the ads because they don't pay much. But so that being said, how much do you think the top YouTube, production person makes? The person submitting videos but does have ads on their site. How much do you think?
Don't have a clue.
To take a guess.
A guess? I don't know. I, 20 grand a year for the very most top.
20 grand a year. How about you?
I'll go with that. I really don't have a clue.
$5 million.
Okay.
Where do I sign up?
$5 million and for the number one person. And their channel, that's all it is the most low production thing you'd ever want to see in your entire life. It is a woman. All you see is her hands and her child's hands unwrapping Disney character action figure things that come out of the boxes, and she'll do 20 at a time, and kids just sit in front of this television and are fixated, mesmerized by it. And she makes, did YouTube put it out? She made $5 million. Wow. So I guess the point, I've seen this because my kids have seen this show, it's the most basic thing, I guess, in the world for a child. But I thought about it, and I can kind of relate because the geek that I am, I don't know if you're familiar with this thing. They're called unboxing videos. So like a new technology comes out. And like the first person to get this, like it's a new camera or a new computer or a laptop or something like that, or whatever kind of gadget. And the person that gets it will, set up their camera on a tripod and videotape them taking it out of the box. And then they'll show all the different sides of this particular thing and some of the features of this particular gadget. And they do it for all different kind of gear and equipment. And I'm fascinated by those videos. And I watch them. Like if there's a certain camera or a certain kind of tech that I'm interested in, I will watch those unboxing videos. So I kind of get it. But for that to be the number one thing is astounding to me. There's nothing, like you have people spending millions of dollars producing like high quality, using these cameras like the Red, Scarlet, you know, the ones that they use for to tape Wicked Tuna and everything else, and all the production that goes into it, and for the top producer, top money maker on YouTube to have the silly voice and they're unwrapping these Disney characters is just unbelievable.
Power to them.
No, not taking anything away from them.
Yeah, guys. Speaking of which, Wicked Tuna, when you just referenced that, not to do a segue, but you know, the new season starts.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's good. Good stuff. Yeah, I'm psyched for the new season. And then I think they're down south right now taping the North versus South. So, yeah, Tuna season. Wicked Tuna has done a lot for this city. Just okay, here's a question, Jay. What do you think has had more of an impact on tourism in this city, Wicked Tuna or the Perfect Storm?
Well, I think, you know, the jury's still out on Wicked Tuna. I mean, it's an ongoing thing now. They're involving the South down there. I know that some of the boating and fishing websites that I visit, Wicked Tuna has made a splash, and a lot of recreational fishermen are looking to come up to Gloucester to do some fishing up here, maybe catch a charter with some of the guys in Wicked Tuna. So
I can tell you there's a big time impact
coming
up here, that like they're driving around, they'll pull down the wharf here and they'll stop and ask me, where can I find those guys? And they're not from just like Springfield, Mass. They're from like Houston, Texas. They're from like
right.
States far away.
Their video is incredible, the way they edit the programs. But you know, being from Gloucester, I noticed a fly here and there.
Oh yeah.
Once in a while, they'll show an aerial of Manchester Harbor and call it Gloucester Harbor. Yeah. Then they'll imply the sun rising in the morning when they're showing a reverse video of the sun going down behind City Hall, taken from East Gloucester. Mm-hmm. So that's. Really sunset, not sunrise. It'll just reverse the video. But other than that, you know, I enjoy watching it.
Yeah, I like it too. I think it's just fun. It is it's amazing, the popularity of it. I think a lot of that popularity goes to the popularity probably of your site and our site, and though, too. Because it's normal people, and people can, a lot of these people that work in cubes all around the country, their whole fantasy is like the independence. You know, everybody's been put into this box, and they're a number, and you know what I mean? Yeah, they're part of a system, and like these fishermen are just completely polar opposite, you know, the definition of independence, and they're real guys with flawed, some
people. Look, I mean, whatever the equivalent is to a bucket list, I mean, certain people see the show, and they say, one thing I've got to do, you know, in the next couple of years is I got to get to Gloucester and find out where those guys are and see what it's all about.
The one thing that is kind of sad for those people, though, is like a lot of these people, they book tuna charters, and the chances of catching a tuna are not, you know, you would think that they're great by watching the show, but they're not that great. They'd be much better off booking a striper charter or a bluefish charter and catch a ton of, you know, 10 or 20 fish, as opposed to catching, or not catching, going out all day long and chumming and coming home with nothing.
You know, another thing that show has done, how many TV shows and movies about Gloucester have you heard named Gloucester mispronounced? In Wicked Tuna, they pronounce it perfectly because all the guys are from around
here. Yeah, that's true, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's a good show. I'm happy for those guys and their success, and I hope they continue to go on. This is their fourth season.
Yes, so. This will be the start.
So they say that like the first couple of years you don't make anything, and after that that's when the money starts coming. Hopefully they can negotiate a decent money, and the T-shirt sales are booming and all that. Wish them all the best of luck. Anybody else have anything in closing they want to talk about? Good. All right, another Gloucestercast. Wednesday Gloucestercast midweek. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you, Joey.
Bye, Joey. Thank you.